So when it comes to body, soul, spirit alignment, the one who's building this whole idea is not a philosopher, not collegiately trained. I'm not a psychiatrist, right? But I've had my own struggles. I have never been put on a medication, psychotic medication, antidepressant, any of that. My father went through some really difficult times when I was a teenager. I watched him go through some mental challenges. I have three sisters out of four of them that are on medication or were on medication for psychosis, bipolar mostly. I have a daughter that's been classified schizophrenic acute, or it's the ability to function, talk, but not completely lost. And so I'm living the pain. I mean, when you're dealing with this in your family and it's your child and they're doing crazy stuff, flying on airplanes to places, not telling you, the police find them naked, laying in a piece of grass by a public library. That's how it really started for us 4 some years ago after she left Yale. So body, soul, spirit alignment for me is personal. My own struggles with my confidence when I was younger, very talented athletically, really good wrestler, could have been a great wrestler, but I felt like I was in a battle to just believe in myself. It was like a negative spirit was all over me, and it was a negative thing telling me you're going to lose, you're going to fail. I even at 16 was contemplating suicide. So the person writing all this, soul, mind, body, is a regular person who loves God, who believes that the Word of God is the medicine, who believes that the Holy Spirit is the fixer, who believes that Jesus Christ is embodied in the Holy Spirit, that he's now in charge of my soul now these many decades, but over the last 20 or so years when he knocked me down in a very private place and I saw his horse. And from that day forward, I would read the Bible in a different way. It just exploded. It just became alive. I could see things because it's the living dynamic Word of God. In Hebrews 4:12, it says to the division of the soul and spirit. Only God can do that. And so the Word of God cuts us up. You read it this year, read it 10 years from now, it's going to hit you in a whole new way. Words of Jesus, Sermon on the Mount, Book of Romans, Book of Ephesians. You can't understand. I don't even think Paul understood what he was writing at every level. Obviously, he understood because he saw heaven. He lived there for a little bit, came back. John went to the Isle of Patmos, saw heaven, came back. And what they saw was a mirage of something that's going to be fully expressed at some point in the future. What then are we being prepared for? This is how simple the gospel really is. God is the beginning of what? Us. After he makes the beautiful world, after he makes the earth, and that includes the air, that includes the firmament, that includes water, that includes fish, it includes birds of air. It includes every creature, every piece of vegetation, every fruit, every herb, every spice. It was perfect and it was beautiful. And heaven was above and earth was beneath. We were made to run the earth. God runs the heaven. He made us in his image, gave us skills and talents, understanding, perfect fellowship with the Father in the garden. That's what Adam had, to manage the earth as a man, as a human. We have been given the ability to do that. Now, look at the world. Look at how many people are here. Look at all the conflict. Look at all the philosophical battling. Look at the religious battling. Look at the dark side, the satanic stuff that's coming out with Epstein. Look at the cannibalism that was here in America before we came, the Europeans. Look at other parts of the world where really bad things happen. The earth is soiled mess because of what? The fall. Because Eve believed Satan. And what did she eat? The fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So she got wisdom and knowledge, but she got evil with it. And that's what everybody gets today. You go to college, you get the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You go to medical school, you get the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Look at the symbol. It's a snake around a pole. You go to church. Most churches are not preaching the entire word of God. You can't do it in one sermon, but you understand how to rightly divide it. They don't know how because the seminary didn't teach them, because it's not spirit connected. It's not heaven connected. The seminary is not under the eye of God that way. Only a few times in history we had school of prophets in Elijah's day, or you know, you had it in the first century probably when these first churches were formed. You had the Spirit of God was right there. Everybody understood things clearly. Now it's 2,000 years later. We got all these philosophies. We got all these religious people. We got the Catholic Church screwing with things. We got the documents in a different language. And we got to trust in translations, all that. But what cuts through it all? Holy Spirit. It speaks every language, right? Russian, Chinese, Urdu, every form of Spanish, right? In South America. Every form of Oriental talk, Vietnamese, Singaporean, every form of language the Holy Spirit knows. It cuts through the confusion. The Holy Spirit's job is to heal us in our soul, which is Jesus working on the sin stuff, which comes from the family tree, but also comes from inputs from the world, from our education, from our parents, from our friends, from what we watch on social media, what we believe, what you trust in, the globe and all that nonsense. That's why I'm breaking that. So if you break the globe idea, the endless space idea, what happens? God comes near on a throne. You come back to the original design. You come back to the Garden of Eden. He's right above Adam. He's communing with Adam. Think about when John baptized Jesus. Heaven opens up. Voice is heard. John is a human baptizing Jesus as a human. And then a real thing, a dove that John saw and wrote about, comes down and rests on Jesus. So it's tangible. It's real. Jesus is the Son. The Father's up there in heaven on his throne, but he's heard. He's got language that John the Baptist understood. And a dove, which is a real thing, rests on Jesus. And then he's, in essence, filled with the Spirit practically, with a tangible, real thing. And then Jesus meets the disciples after he resurrects, and he breathes on them, and they receive the Ruach HaKodesh. They receive the Spirit, and they see, they understand. So did that end in the first century? The Spirit is the Spirit. The Ruach HaKodesh, or the Rosh of God, is real. The wind of God is real. It's still teaching. It's still training. I am a living, breathing example of the Holy Spirit operation on my soul over the course of many, many years. And my purpose here is for you to be aligned soul, mind, body. It's not going to be fast. But it starts with the fundamental. You're made in the image of God. You're made of dust. His throne is near. And he's coming back to end all this nonsense. And when he's here, you'll know everything. When he's here, the earth will be perfectly in order. When he's here, the vegetation will be righteous. The animals will get along. The tribes won't fight. Our worship will be perfect. Our knowledge will be perfect. So how then do we get ourselves in alignment with heaven? You have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You have to meditate on his word, his law, his righteous words, the Sermon on the Mount. Just read it, read it, read it. Pray, pray, pray. You have to get on your face. That's another sign to God that you're a broken person, that you don't trust yourself in any way. When you divest yourself of self, you now open for heaven to come down into you and begin the process of teaching you. The school of God, the school of heaven. That's what we're talking about here in soul, mind, body alignment.